Salutations. Welcome to the West Texas Catholic, the podcast. We've made it to a dozen. This is episode 12. Our very special guest is Carrie Acker, the Director of Religious Education at St. Thomas the Apostle Church here in Amarillo. She's going to tell us about an OCIA workshop happening down the hall from where we are on Friday, June 20th and Saturday, June 21st in the Conference Center here at the Diocesan Pastoral Center. My name is Chris Albrecht, Director of Communications for the Diocese of Amarillo. I edit the West Texas Catholic, and I host a little radio program called the West Texas Catholic, the audio version on GRN. We're also going to get you up to date with all kinds of diocesan news as well. But first, if you'll assume an attitude of prayer, let us pray for religious liberty. We should never, ever take it for granted and always look to build it in our church, world, and society. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, Father of all nations, for freedom you have set us free in Christ Jesus. We praise and bless you for the gift of religious liberty, the foundation of human rights, justice, and the common good. Grant to our leaders the wisdom to protect and promote our liberties. By your grace, may we have the courage to defend them for ourselves and for all those who live in this blessed land. We ask this through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, our patroness, and in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with whom you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. My dime's worth of opinions, which are not those of the Diocese of Amarillo, CAPN, the Office of Communications, and sometimes maybe they should be. We're getting closer and closer to the harvest of the 2025 winter wheat crop throughout the Diocese of Amarillo. We are trying to avoid the near occasion of hail, heavy storms, high winds, etc., but they could use a rain. So please continue to pray for favorable weather for our farmers and ranchers. They certainly do need it. Keep in prayer those in need of prayer, and you know who they are. Please keep them in your prayers, and also continue to pray for vocations for the priesthood and religious life, not just for the Diocese of Amarillo, but for the entire Universal Church. Please pray for our three fantastic seminarians, Deacon Mauricio Valadez, Richard Escalante, Benjamin Segal, and for the eight men and their families that are discerning the permanent diaconate for the Diocese of Amarillo. Find out more about vocations at amarillovocations.org, amarillovocations.org, your one-stop shop for everything and anything that has to do with vocations in our diocese. To our healthcare workers and first responders, thank you for all that you do for us. Your efforts do not go unappreciated here. And keep up with all the diocesan news. AmarilloDiocese.org, and we bought it back from Life Support, where it was lingering more toward being dead than it was alive. WestTexasCatholic.org will keep you up to date with all the good stuff there. And also make sure you like us on Facebook. We're at Amarillo Diocese. There's lots of posts that go up there. Newest issue of the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper, will drop it as a flock note Monday morning, June 9th, between 6 and 8. It's dated Sunday, June 15th. Please keep in mind, we are in our summer publication schedule. We have newspapers once a month in June, July, and August on the third Sunday of each of the month. The podcast, where can you find it? Glad you asked. AmarilloDiocese.org/podcast. The email address, if you have comments, questions, maybe you'd like to help underwrite the cost of the program or be a sponsor of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, stcapn@dioama.org. Joining us on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 12, she is the Director of Religious Education, or if you prefer, the DRE at St. Thomas the Apostle Church, where she's been DRE for 9 years. It's always good to have Carrie Acker with us, and this is your first time on the podcast. Welcome. Glad to have you with us.
Thanks, Chris. I'm excited to be here.
So if somebody who doesn't know Carrie Acker comes up to you and goes, hey, tell us who you are. How would you define Carrie Acker?
Well, I am an English teacher by trade, so I could really go on this spiel for a while. But in general, I would say I've always had a faith life. I'm someone whose faith is very important to me. My family is vital to who I am as a person. I love to read. I'm introverted, so I love having time alone. But I also enjoy traveling and just getting to experience new places and new people.
You know, one of these days we might have a podcast for the introverts in this diocese. I think we have another nominee for that possibility, okay?
Okay,
seriously.
Good.
We're serious about that, though.
All right.
I think that the podcast might last 90 seconds per episode, but we would have that option, though.
There you
so
go.
How did you get involved with Faith Formation, Carrie?
Well, so as I mentioned before, I was an English teacher by trade, and I taught for 12 years, but my wonderful father, who passed away about 7 years ago, he knew I was kind of getting burnt out on teaching. I love kids, love the classroom, but some of the other things and just grading papers and stuff all the time. He just knew I was kind of reaching my end point, and he had heard that the prior deary at St. Thomas was retiring, and my family has been longtime parishioners at St. Thomas. And he was like, you know, I think you should look into it, Carrie. I think you should look into it. You won't have to grade papers, and, you know, it'll just be different. You won't have to plan lessons all the time. I think you could do this. And because I don't have a degree in theology, my first reaction was, that is crazy. No way, Dad. They would never want me. Like, I don't know how to work with adults. I don't work with the parents. I work with kids. But he just gently kept encouraging me. He always had a gift for seeing people as they were. And so he just saw something in me. And, you know, I talked to my husband about it. I talked to the former DRE at St. Thomas about it. I talked to my sister and my mom and just kind of got their input. Like, do you think I should even try to have this conversation? And everyone just was very encouraging and thought, well, it doesn't hurt. I could see like where it goes. And here we are 9 years later.
Have the 9 years go by as fast as you thought they would have gone by, or have they gone by slower than you think they would have?
Oh, so fast. So fast. I only had one child when I started at St. Thomas. She was a year and a half, and now I have four. So life just zooms by.
We tell people that are new in ministry, the first year is always the hardest because you're learning where everything is, when everything happens, who you can count on for things like that.
Absolutely.
Agree or disagree with that, and why or why not?
I think so. I mean, every year will have its challenges, but yes, the first year you're learning so much. It's just like your first year of teaching. You're trying to figure out the dynamics and get to know the families and really see where the needs are. A piece of advice Father John gave me when he hired me was observe how things are this year and then make changes next year so that you have a feeling for what's working right now and what you think maybe could be changed a little, or maybe make it more your own. So I tried to take that advice. But yes, at first I just probably was a fish out of water. I'm sure I looked so clueless, but we got through it and things happened like they, I think, mostly were supposed to. So that was very challenging. But the other really challenging year in my ministry was the years of COVID. Mm. We pretty much had to redesign the entire program to make it follow safety guidelines and still try to offer something to families and to kids and still try to bring people into the church and all those types of things. And it was just a whole lot of redesigning. It was, I don't know that I would ever want to do that again.
Well, I hope we don't have to go through COVID again, okay?
Yeah, same.
Or anything similar to that. Carrie Acker is our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast episode 12, powered by Cap'n and brought to you by the Diocese of Amarillo. You mentioned your dad, and I've known your family for quite a while because your youngest sister, Araceli, played soccer with my daughter, Emily.
Okay.
Your sister, KC, was really involved with the United Way of Amarillo and brought me into the fold there, and I helped out on quite a few events with her. That girl can put on events.
I
see your mother almost every Sunday morning at the 7:30 Mass at St. Thomas when I'm not doing something for the diocese.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's your dad, Joe Sullivan, who was one of the OGs, original staff, at Randall High School.
That's
You're
correct.
A Raider, so
yes.
And thank you for that, because I do so much stuff over there, and
yeah.
That's why I bring that up. But your dad, what an influence on you, and what an influence on so many, many kids at Randall High School. Talk about your dad. Brag on your dad, because he is missed.
I'm probably going to get choked up a little bit. But
no worries. It's all good.
Yeah, my dad was the best person I've ever known. Very selfless. Like I mentioned before, he really saw the gifts in people. He never took a stereotype. He always wanted to get to know the person. A lot of kids at Randall who didn't maybe fit in other places found a safe place in the library that he ran for many years. He worked well with staff, with families. He was so passionate about reading. He did book talks where he would invite kids to come pick out a book and they would read and do a presentation during a lunchtime. He even tried to learn to ride a unicycle around the library just because he wanted to draw more people into the library. And if you can imagine a guy, you know, in his 50s learning to ride a unicycle around a library, you can imagine that that definitely drew some attention. So he wasn't afraid to laugh at himself. He always went out of his way to just say hi to people, to learn their name, remember things about them. So, and actually, when I was starting at St. Thomas and feeling a little overwhelmed at the beginning, he was so supportive. He would help me with different aspects of it, you know, helping me get technology ready in the classroom, or he would do, help me even teach some of our, what was then called the RCIA classes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep.
And he was one of the OGs out at Randall, and we're down to one.
Wow.
Rebecca Glenn is the last original staff at Randall High School. That's hard to believe.
Because it's
was
sad.
Because for the longest time it was him, Leslie Broadhurst, who passed away last year, and Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when your dad's funeral took place, that was probably the most packed I've ever seen St. Thomas. And it was probably 75% non-Catholic too, because
probably.
There were just so many people from Randall, students, parents, teachers, former associates of him, mm-hmm. that packed the church. He got the great farewell and he deserved every bit of it. May he rest in God's eternal peace, Madame.
Yes.
Before we talk about the real reason we brought you in,
the
LCIA workshop coming up on Friday, June 20th and Saturday, June 21st, down the hall in the Conference Center here at the Pastoral Center, I want to go back to the 9 years so far that you've had as the DRE at St. Thomas. What are the things that have brought you the most joy in your ministry, if you will?
Sure. I really enjoy connecting with people, especially in small groups or individually. And when I get to know a certain family or a certain child or a certain adult, and we have conversations about faith, and you can see kind of a growth in people from, you know, when you first meet them, and then see their openness to becoming involved in some new way, or, you know, when they receive a sacrament and the joy on their face, it's just such a celebration in so many ways when you get to watch someone become Catholic after they've been working on it for many months, sometimes a few years. When you see a family that was not involved in the church start connecting with others and finding a space for themselves, getting to know some of the other families and just being a part of our parish family, it's a really beautiful thing.
So here we are in the month of June. Is this downtime? Ordinarily, if we didn't have the OCIA workshop?
Well, now I'm working on VBS, so maybe probably somewhat downtime, but I also have to get everything ready for the next RE year as well. So, I mean, there's not a whole lot of slow time in my life.
Not with four kids.
Not with four kids. No, we're very busy all the time.
Carrie Acker is our guest. She's been for the past 9 years the Director of Religious Education at St. Thomas the Apostle Church here in Amarillo. And now we finally get to the real reason we're here for you. We have a OCIA workshop. OCIA stands for Order of Christian Initiation of Adults. This workshop is for clergy and lay leaders, Friday, June 20th, Saturday, June 21st, in the Conference Center, which is just down the hall from our studios here at the Pastoral Center at 4512 Northeast 24th Avenue. Before we talk about the workshop, this used to be known as RCIA. Why the change in the letters and so forth?
That's a great question. So a lot of things in the church, as we know, for those who've been involved with the church for a while, change comes slowly, and sometimes it trickles down a little bit at a time. So my understanding is that they felt like that name, Order of Christian Initiation for Adults, really clarified what was happening better than RCIA, which is Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. There actually are many rites that take place within the process for adults who are seeking to become Catholic. And so I do agree that order makes more sense because it really is an order of progression. There are four stages to OCIA as there were for the RCIA, and those are called the same things, I think similar in a lot of ways. But there's a lot of things I think people didn't know about RCIA, and I think now is just the perfect time to invite people to learn what OCIA is and really become involved.
The workshop again is Friday, June 20th, Saturday, June 21st here in the Conference Center at the Pastoral Center. The first workshop, though, on the 20th is for our clergy, and we're talking priest and deacons as well, correct?
Yes.
And it's going to be basically to examine the newly translated ritual rite and consider the ways they can implement this vision of the OCIA, correct?
Correct.
And then at 1 o'clock, that's when it's open to everybody. And
yes.
The first workshop is called The Vision of the OCIA, a workshop for parish staff and ministry coordinators. And we just don't want the priest or the DREs to show up. We really need everybody in the parish to shut the office down for the afternoon and come on out and learn about the OCIA. Elaborate, please.
Yes, exactly. Because part of the work of the church, the mission of the Catholic Church, is to bring more people to the church. And so if only a handful of people or two people in a whole parish know how to do that, know anything about it, then are we really being missionaries?
No, we're not.
So that is one thing I learned in my time at St. Thomas, is and in other parishes too. This is not unique to St. Thomas. Is that a lot of people don't really understand what it is. They think it's just a class you sign up for that starts in August or September and it goes until Easter of the next year and then you're done. And that's not it at all. There's so much more to it. And the community of the faithful, that those who are fully baptized and fully initiated into the church, we are all called to be a part of the process of walking with others who want to become Catholic.
That workshop again starts at 10 o'clock in the morning on June 20th. That's for the priest only. And then the workshop for everyone that afternoon at 1 o'clock. But we're not done yet because we continue the following day. And the workshop, the focus is, what does this OCIA process look like?
Mm-hmm.
So what does it look like?
Yeah, so it's a great question. There's a lot of parts to it. So we've been working with a gentleman from the Liturgical Publications Company, who I believe will be coming here to lead us in this. And when I talked with him about leading this workshop, I just said, I think what would be really helpful is for people, as many people as possible, from as many parishes as possible, to see what does this look like? What does this look like in real time? Not just the theoretical, not just the vision behind it, but no, like if we're leading inquiry class, which is the first step of RCIA, I'm messing it up too.
It's okay.
OCIA, you know, that initial time to question and to explore, what does that look like? But then, you know, then we get to another step and it's called the catechumenate, which is the part that most people think of when they think of OCIA, that the classes that talk on doctrine and very traditional Catholic beliefs answer a lot of the questions. So again, what would that look like? And how is that going to be different from that initial inquiry period? And then we have two other periods of OCIA. The third one's called Purification and Enlightenment. That's during the Lenten season. And so how is that different than the previous two? And then our final session, which really all baptized, fully initiated Catholics are called to forever live in a period called the mystagogy, which is the study of the mystery. So what does it mean to live and to look like, you know, a follower of Christ for the rest of our lives?
All right. So I'm going to let you play salesperson here for a minute. Why should people make plans to join us here at the Conference Center June 20th and 21st? Why should they attend?
Oh my gosh, guys, it's going to be so good. You need to come. you know, a lot of people, I think, can take the right book, the OCIA right book. There's not a lot of description on how to do this within your parishes. That really what it talks about is very generalized things, and then it tells you how to do each of the rites to initiate people into the next step of the process. But come so that you can, you know, meet other people who are working in this ministry. Sometimes it can feel challenging. Come because you want to learn about it. And so we all have a common language that we're using, a common vision. I really think it could strengthen, you know, our parishes around the diocese to share this together.
The conference again, Friday, June 20th and Saturday, June 21st here in the Conference Center at the Diocesan Pastoral Center. The workshop free of charge for all attendees on June 20th. Now, June 21st, it will be $10 per person. Scholarships are going to be available for parishes and individuals as needed. Keep this in mind. Lunch is going to be provided for everyone who registers for the OCIA workshop at amarillodiocese.org/OCIA. amarillodiocese.org/OCIA. So you say there's no such thing as a free meal? Well, if you register, there will be a free meal for you. If you need to know more, call Carrie Acker at St. Thomas the Apostle Church, 806-358-2461. Or again, all the information is online right now at amarillodiocese.org/OCIA. And Carrie, last word in the conversation belongs to you. Anything else you wish to add?
I look forward to seeing all of you on the June 20th and 21st.
Let's get you up to date with a few pieces of diocesan news before we exit stage right. And the first one regards the Franciscan Sisters of Christ the Light. They've been doing this for a little while now. It's an initiative for teens and young adults called Worship Prayer Movie Night. Happens normally on the third Friday of the month. Sometimes they move it up or back depending on times. In the St. Francis House of Prayer, 125 John Paul Circle in Panhandle. It all kicks off at 6 o'clock with a holy hour of praise and worship music with prayer and a brief time of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. There's also a simple meal served during a movie chosen for its relativity for faith and the modern world. Now, the next Worship Prayer Movie Night is Friday, June 20th. Need to know more? Call the lovely Franciscan Sisters of Christ the Light at Sancta Maria Convent at 806-537-3182. Couple of notes from the Sacred Heart Prayer Group at St. Mary's Cathedral here in Amarillo. They're going to conduct, first of all, their annual Retreat and Reflection Day on Saturday, June 21st, 9 a.m. until noon at St. Mary's Cathedral, 1200 South Washington here in Amarillo. The Retreat and Reflection Day, in preparation for the Solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, which will be observed on Friday, June 27th. More on that in just a second. All members, active and inactive, as well as those interested in joining the Sacred Heart Prayer Group, First Friday devotees, and others are invited to participate in this very special day of prayer. The retreat includes a time of reflection, Eucharistic adoration, and group prayers, and there will be a potluck lunch afterwards. We'll tell you more about that in just a minute. Now let's go to Friday, June 27th, and everyone's invited to attend the celebration of the Solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, Friday, June 27th. It's a 5:30 p.m. Mass at St. Mary's Cathedral, 1200 South Washington. During the Mass, several individuals will be making their consecration to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, here's where the meal on the 21st and the meal on the 27th come into hand. A communal meal will be served also after the Mass. Now, if you're planning to attend either the Saturday, June 21st, Retreat and Reflection, or the Mass itself, or both, and you can do both, you do need to RSVP, please, by Wednesday, June 18th. Please send that email to TarenMeyer@yahoo.com, spelling it TarenMeyer at yahoo.com. Let's go down to Hart. The parish family at St. John Nepomucene Church invites you to their annual Jamaica on the parish grounds at 312 7th Street, Saturday, June 28th, noon until 10 p.m. All kinds of food and beverage booths. There'll be games for the kids, including a mechanical bull, water slides, a train ride, loteria, a silent auction, and other activities. And there's also going to be some great live music, Ballet Folklorico, and we'll have music from DJ Avila and JC Productions as well. There's also going to be a raffle in conjunction with the Jamaica. And just like in Dowhart, the top prize is a John Deere zero-turn riding lawnmower. Second prize, a Samsung refrigerator. Third prize, a Princess House high-power blender. Seven other prizes will also be drawn. Tickets for the raffle, $10 each. They're being sold after all weekend masses until Sunday, June 22nd, and will be sold also during the Jamaica. Get all the details by contacting Norma Carrasco. Her telephone number, 806-292-7624. A Teens X Adoration Community Theology and Service Retreat, Thursday, July 17th to Sunday, July 20th. At the Bishop DeFalco Retreat Center at 2100 North Spring here in Amarillo. Get your registration forms at parish offices or through the ACTS community website, or you can call Jimmy Hunt. He has all the details, 806-344-4842. And finally, the Diocesan Museum and Archives once again seeking painters for participation in an art show Thursday, July 24th in the Diocesan Museum from 6 until 8 at 4512 Northeast 24th Avenue. That's down the hall from us here at the Pastoral Center. Theme of the art show is Scenes from the Bible. Paintings will be accepted for this year's show. Please, no mixed medium. The top prize, $3,000. Second prize, $1,500. Third prize, $500. The winning painting becomes the property of the Diocesan Museum, and it will be placed on display. Now, we mentioned paintings will be judged from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. during the art show. They must be at the museum on or before Wednesday, July 23rd. And again, seriously, they must depict a scene from the Bible. Refreshments will be provided. And if you need to know more about the Thursday, July 24th art show, call Susan Garner, our diocesan archivist and curator, 806-414-1076. Hey, have comments, suggestions? Maybe you'd like to help underwrite the cost of CAPN, maybe by being a sponsor of this program. Well, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us, stcapn at dioama.org, stcapn. At dioama.org. And that does it for episode 12 of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, brought to you by CAPN, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. Have yourselves a great day, and may God abundantly bless you. And remember, abortion is not and never will be health care. Viva Cristo Rey.